as Wiltord makes a run ahead of it. Bergkamp suddenly changed pace through the centre. It's Bergkamp! That's magnificent! The move, and then this, which left Dabby's ass totally stranded.
Hello and welcome to Bergkamp Wonderland, the only Arsenal podcast where 33% of the people on it are not wearing underpants or trousers. With me tonight is, fresh from the gym, it's the Arsenal hunk himself. He used to be a woolly mammoth. Now he has gone full Hulk. It's only James. How are you doing, Tuchel?
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good. And I'm excited to be on here with you, as always.
Best way to be. So we were talking before the show that you've gone. Are you on the Peps? Are you on the? Have you been in contact with Pep about the certain supplements that may help you with, so you can just pump iron 24/7 and then have no fatigue and no injuries?
Yeah, I'm trying to get some EPO in as best as I can, as soon as I can, when I can. And then when I'm done in Manchester, I'll take a nice little layover in Liverpool and become an asthmatic. And then I'll be even stronger after I've got that done as well.
That is the only way to go. So, people, if your screen does turn off during the show, you can take it as read that that's what he's doing. He's just topping himself up with all the essential ingredients so that he doesn't get an injury. Is there any chance that you might rage during the show and quit? Because on the roid rage, that's the word I was looking for.
No, I'll be all right. I promise.
It's lovely to see. Talking about lovely to see, it's Norwich's finest Arsenal supporter, owner of a brand new car that he's not going to tell anybody what the new car is, because there's certain people in the chat who might just turn up to his house and he's not actually there. Phil isn't there. Maybe you can tell people what car you've bought now that Phil isn't listening.
I'm not telling anyone what car I've got, but I'm changing my Twitch name to E-Honda.
Eddie Honda. Yes. As I live and breathe. I don't know where your stalker is. Well, so. Say that again. I was busy talking over you.
Plus, I look a little bit like E Honda as well from the old Street Fighter games.
Do you?
We wear a nappy. We'd be spitting image of each other.
Show me the speed of your hands for the 100 hand slap. Show me. Fucking hell. It's like we're in the room with gaming royalty. Lovely to see. Oh, say hello to some of the people in the chat, shall we? Stefan is there. I'm watching Villa v Ajax. Interested in Hatto at left back for Ajax. James is nodding along to that. Is his brother playing? Not Hatto's brother. Is Timber's brother playing? Because he's a decent player as well. James,
no,
you're leaning back.
I believe he plays for he plays for another Dutch team, right? Timber's brother. I don't think he plays for Ajax.
That's a good way of making me look like an idiot.
Sorry.
I preferred it when you were on mute and leaning forwards. You've set the tone for the show now. I'm going to fat shame Nick and I'm going to tell you you're wearing a wig. That's good. He was at Ajax though, wasn't he?
Yes, I believe so. For that. I don't know where he is now.
You find out.
Yeah, I'll do a Jamie from Joe Rogan and Google it.
Tom Andrew is there. Oi, oi. Andrew in the US of A, I think. I remember. Mr. Waffles is not in Portland. All right, Dave, how you doing? Mierde? I don't know what you're saying. I think that's poop. Always on when I'm stuck on calls at work. Yeah, it's not good. Avon not Teddington has arrived. Stefan's saying hi. Ah, Fergus is there. Good evening, everybody. Fergus is the owner of one of my favourite. There's only 5 Arsenal podcasts I subscribe to on YouTube, and I don't have any on iTunes. I'm too busy with the Rogan. It's Guns and Yellow Ribbons, and they've recently passed 1,000 subscribers, so they will now be raking it in, which is lovely to see. Oh, James has been so polite, but Quinton Timber is at Feyenoord. Rather than just shouting over me like I would if I found, I know the answer, I found it. That's annoying, I'm going to shut up. Stefan says, Ellis is Norwich's finest. Sorry, Nick. Jesus.
I mean, let's be, I mean, I know Ellis. I know where he lives, where he's moved now. It's a pretty much a shithole because I used to live near there. This, I don't know why we put this myth that he's some kind of medical marvel. He just spends all day removing cucumbers from people's anuses. It's not exactly rocket science, is it?
Yeah, I did ask that group tonight if any of them are free to make up a fourth, but I didn't even get a single fucking reply. Do you know why? All scumbags.
Because they're all cunts.
Melvin, easy tiger. Melvin is there. Melvin's always reliable. He was on the last 2 weeks in a row. Hello, Melvin. Ferga says, Honda, did you also get the odour? Do Honda stink? Because Fergus is a BMW man. He's the valeter at a BMW garage, so I heard.
Smells like I've got a Batman air freshener.
Tidy. Love Johnson. It was at the last podcast. Nice to see you back again. Ah, fell asleep around when you were talking about EPO last podcast. Now again, back on the subject. Well, I think it was you that told us what it was, what it stood for. And good evening, lovers, and added. BX is also in the US of A. Good evening, everyone. Hello to yourself. Stefan, great to see the usual crowd in the chat. It is. It's lovely. Fergus says, drunk in Dresden. Oh, well, you are. Why would he be drunk in Dresden? We're not playing in Dresden. Unless he knows about something about the semi-final, the quarter-final draw, and he's there with the beast towel putting it on the stadium at Bayern. Oh, God, I don't want to play it, actually. We'll talk about that later. Avon says, Fergus and Hilsey had superstar roles in the West Ham highlights, I noticed. Yeah, they're media darlings now. It's disgusting. Boy 10, what's on the cards tonight? Well, we're going to talk about how we felt about the game and then a few things about that. We're going to talk penalties and mention Pepe, mention the referee, and then Trossard's dad, who we want in the quarterfinals, who is in the quarterfinals, what we're going to do during the break, Ben White, England, and Ramsdale's farewell tour. And they say, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Ha! In your face. Right, let's start out with James. You haven't been on for a while. You've been slipping sick notes under my door, then running away. How did you feel before the game? Because Arsenal, historically, are bottlers, especially in the last 20 years.
Yeah, so I was weirdly quite hyped for it. I've been excited. I was really, really excited. Obviously, when we had the negative result away, knowing that we had to wait 3 weeks to right the wrong there, I was like, well, that's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a layover that you want to get, you know, for us, I think momentum's so big. And when we have a knock, it's like to rectify that as soon as we can. I think this team's very good at doing that. And I wanted to get that done ASAP. But no, I thought to myself, it's going to be tough. I didn't think it'd be as tough as it was on the day. But yeah, so elated afterwards. I mean, how can you not be happy after winning a game like that? And I thought it was good. True. but I thought it was good for certain players and also for the group to win that way. Because they've been, you know, when we've been absolutely, you know, smacking teams left, right and centre. And then the last two games to narrowly get it done like we have. And then obviously this one had to go to penalties as well. I think it's good to show that, you know, mentality wise, you can't just beat everybody by six. You know, everyone's going to roll over and let you tickle their belly. So I think it was good to get that instilled that we might have to win ugly. But again, it's the typical Arsenal thing, isn't it? When Arsenal win games like that, or we have to go to penalties, it's always about how bad we were that we could have beat them overnight. Any other team does it. Oh, that's champion spirit. Oh, look at these Warriors. As soon as Arsenal do it, well, they're not good. There was a 41-year-old at centre-back, couldn't get past, you know, can't break them down. It just does my head in. That's like what you were saying earlier. You only subscribe to Arsenal podcasts. I don't listen to any of these others. I can't be bothered because it's just negative for negative's sake. I'm going to be needlessly provocative to fill up airtime, and it just does my head in.
It's a very good point there. They make it always seem like we've played a group of special needs children. And I can say that because I've got a blue badge and I can say whatever I want about my brothers and sisters. Power to them. Bless them. Nick, how did you feel about the game? Because you are generally a very negative human being, aren't you, about most things in life?
Pretty much. I try not to be. I was quite optimistic.
You failed it terribly.
After the last game I was on the show and was a bit upset. And I said we'd probably do them 3 or 4-1 on the day. So obviously I know nothing about anything.
I said 4-1 as well. Fucking clueless.
Yeah, I thought we'd do them easy. I think we were talking about penalties there, though, weren't we, Dan? We weren't actually talking about score before, but we knew it was going to penalties. But that's just what it is. I mean, is that like the first time we've gone through to the quarterfinals since, like, what was it, 2010? So I'm like, that's the first, because like even under Wenger, when we were in the Champions League every year, we got knocked out the last 16, like all the time. So that's like, what, 14 years since we've got to the last 8, which is good, because I don't know if James, though, don't we qualify now for some sort of mini friendly tournament in the summer? Is it this summer or next summer?
What are you talking about?
I haven't a clue.
Well, everyone who gets through to the quarterfinals, they're playing a little mini tournament, like friendly in the summer. No, I was told today, like with how all the new stuff. Yeah, so everyone who gets into the quarterfinals from now on, they play like a mini tournament when everyone plays everyone over 3 or 4 days. Don't think I made it up.
I know tonight because West Ham have slapped Freiburg by 5, and I think Liverpool were 4-0 up in 9 minutes. that now we've bet definitely, I think whoever finishes 5th now also gets an extra Champions League space. That to me, you can't call it the if you're letting 5th get Champions League,
and 6th if West Ham win the Europa League.
It's such a joke, just like you said, to have more games to make more money for people. I mean, the World Cup's getting extended, the Euros is getting extended. Just why? Why? It's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that we've got these friendlies coming up. For what? Why?
When have we got friendlies?
It's now, isn't it? It's an international break now.
Oh, you mean England friendlies? International?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Arsenal.
No, I'm like, why? Why have we got friendlies in the crunch of the season?
Because they don't give a fuck.
I know.
And they've got to pay for Wembley.
That's my head in.
Noza is here. Evening all. What you're saying was demonstrated by the BBC Sports headlines saying, quote, Champions League, has Europe's top competition lost its unpredictability and magic? Can't make this shit up. See, Noza is circumventing, which is the word I was looking for on the last show, and I couldn't think of it, circumventing the swear filter. Well done, Noza. Brilliant. Nick, you were asking, when was the last time we were in there? This is the screen grab that I stole from Wikipedia. For those at home on the bus, walking the dog and having a poo. 31st of March 2010, Arsenal 2, Barcelona 2. Hold on, I need to take our brand off the screen. Our brand. Barcelona, they scored the first two goals with Ibrahimovic. He'll never turn out to be much of a player. 46 and 59. And then Walcott, oh, bless him, scored on 69. And Fabregas, penalty 85. Puyol, why can't I say that? Carlos Puyol.
Puyol. Yeah,
Puyol,
you're right. You're correct.
He got a red card. Yeah, he got a red card, and then we scored the penalty with Fabregas. Think that's it, lined up for the second leg. We go to the Camp Nou, and Messi scores 4 goals, 21, 37, 42, 88. But we took an early lead with Bentner. I don't remember that at all. And we've got plenty of bookings. And I see there is a theme. I've got all of our quarterfinals. Keep an eye on the theme of Aboué getting booked. He got booked in both of these, which is lovely to see. And, so we got Messi that night, which is why I want to play Barcelona in the final if we get there and absolutely smash them, which would be lovely. And then the other time we got to the next year, that was the last time. The year before that, we actually got to the semi-final. Jump in at any point, lads, because I don't know what I'm talking about. The next time that we played in the time before that was the quarterfinal, April 2009, 1-1 at Villarreal. Goals from Adebayor and Ayrton Senna for them, which is lovely. He ended up finishing his career playing for New York Cosmos when they weren't even playing proper football. I mean, what was that about? That's one for the dads.
He was superb on Pro Evo. He was a monster on that game, Senna.
Even when he played then in 2009, he was 50. And then a return leg near Nick at Arsenal. We beat them 3-0. Walcott on the 10th. Adebayor 60. Van Persie. Boo. 69th minute penalty. That means we got through to the semi-final, and then we went to Man United and we lost 1-0. O'Shea, I mean, that, you should just give up football if you let that tit score against you. And then the home leg, which I think, was I at? I've made a note. Was I at this one? Yes. No, I wasn't. It was the Liverpool one I was at coming up. The semi-final, second leg at Arsenal, we think, well, hold on, we've got the 1-0 lead, 1-0 loss. That's it. It's not too bad. We'll take them home and we'll beat them. And then Park scored in 8, Ronaldo 11, and then Ronaldo again in 61. A consolation goal from Van Persie, second penalty. And we were knocked out. And I remember being extremely frustrated by that because they were down to 10 men for the last 20 minutes of the game. And look, Aboué got booked. And then the other one, the final one, was the year before that, 2008, April again. Arsenal won, Liverpool won. Adebayor scored in 23. Dirk Kuyt scored on 26. That's the game I was at. And then the away leg. Yeah, Liverpool beat us 4-2. And Touré got booked. And Senderos got booked. Eve, have you got anything to say about either of those three quarterfinals and the one semi-final?
It's that Liverpool one away, the one where Walcott ran all that way and slot Adebayor, and he didn't thank him. He just celebrated. Everyone was going over to Walcott to say well done on that run and the assist, and Adebayor just went on his own, didn't he? Just celebrated by himself.
I've got no idea, even though I think was
it
there.
I think it was that game. That was the away leg of that game.
Can we beat those certain quarterfinals, Nick? Do you think we're going to do get through to the semi-finals? Because I'm not overly worried about any of the teams that we could be possibly playing in the semi-final. We've got Barcelona, PSG, bleh, meh, both of them. Atletico, only decent at home. Borussia Dortmund, they're shit. Bayern Munich, they're rubbish. Man City, I'm not talking about. And Real Madrid, well, I mean, you barely got by Leipzig. Yeah, I'll leave that up on the screen, Nick. Why you tell me, are you worried about any of them? Which one would you like?
I'd be happy with any of them apart from Man City. I just don't want to go nowhere near them just yet, to be honest, because I don't know, because they can match us, you know, with intensity and the speed, and basically they'll turn it into two Premiership games, which happens quite a lot. But yeah, with all the other teams, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but you know, Barcelona and Madrid, since the money dried up over there, you know, they're not the side they were 5 years ago, things like that. I mean, I'd rather have someone like that than, you know, the awkward side, because we always seem to struggle with, you know, the awkward teams that play anti-football and things like that. Whereas I think Real Madrid, they would definitely have a go, and so would Barcelona. I think I'd be happy with either one of them two, and hopefully Bayern Munich can have Man City and knock them out. I'll do, because I don't really want nothing to do with them.
So who do you want in the next round? Pick one.
Real Madrid.
You cheeky monkey. James, what you got on this? Have you got any scintillating thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty much exactly the same as Nick. I mean, last night I did the podcast with James, and I made a complete tit of myself by saying I really don't want it in Milan. And they buggered it up. So I was worried about Inter Milan over two legs. Funny enough, I think Inzaghi's incredibly underrated, but their penalties last night were shocking. So they deserve to go out. Yeah, they would. Well, there's a whole thing, isn't there, about how long the players are taking when they place the ball down now to actually take the spot kicks. And I think Arsenal the other night, I think they said that most of them took at least five seconds or more, whereas Lautaro Martinez, he put the ball down for like a second and then just run and, you know, nearly hit me in my head where I live. So I think there's a whole thing about, you know, rushing to actually get them taken. We're composed, we're taking our time and taking them properly. But yeah, I don't want Man City because Nick's spot on, they'll make that two Premier League games. We will take chunks out of each other. And that will help the Scousers as well. And I don't want the Scousers to win the league. I need either Arsenal or Manchester City to block the Scousers. They can have everything else, but I don't want them winning the Prem.
Mr. Waffle says Inzaghi is underrated. All I hear is praise. Well, are you an Inter Milan fan?
Yeah. Yeah,
so am I.
Family ties, yeah.
I've been since probably Italian 90 when I lived at home, and one of my neighbours was Italian, Roberto, and he was an Inter Milan fan, so I adopted them from then. But I've been watching. They're not. Serie A is so shit. They're looking magnificent. They're not as magnificent as you think they are. If you watch them play, I mean, they've got 102-year-old Sanchez regularly starting games. They're not brilliant, are they?
I just think the way that he deploys this 3-5-2, and they play such scintillating football in Italy. Mm. I think it's masterful, Danny. I think he doesn't. I get what you're saying, that he does get praised, but I think it's only just started to turn up. There was a lot of negativity towards him at first when he come in, and I really think he's turned it round. I really, taking bias aside, I really enjoy watching us play lately. I think Bayern Leverkusen are very entertaining watch under Alonso as well. And next to them, I think Inter are probably the third best in terms of sitting to watch somebody and enjoying what they're doing. I'd put us, Leverkusen and Inter as the three.
I've watched all three of those recently. I'd actually downloaded the Leverkusen Bayern game. Wonderful, wonderful game of football. And we showed that we could play kind of similar football to Leverkusen at times. And they mullered them, which was lovely to see. And I do watch quite a few Inter Milan games, but I like the way they play. I like the fact that we're running away with it. And if we keep those players, then I think we'll be on another run of three or four titles in a row, because Juve are broken. I mean, look at the amount. They've dropped 16 points in the last month or so, the last 2 months. And it's lovely to see. Nick, did you doze off there when we were talking about non-Arsenal stuff? Have you got a little buzzer?
No, I was looking to see if I lost my mind. I haven't. Basically, this extra tournament thing. You know, they do the FIFA World Club Cup Championship thing, the Champions League. Basically, they're scrapping that format and starting not this summer, but next summer. They're taking, like, everyone who get into the quarterfinals of the Champions League, the, like, winners of the Asia Cup and everything. They're having a massive tournament in America. So another weird friendly thing that they're going to do.
Is that going to be every, because it goes World Cup, nothing, Euros, nothing, World Cup, nothing. So is it going to fit in between those in the summers? Or
it's going to be in a nothing. So it's not this summer, which is the Euros this summer.
So it's going to be every other year.
25, it'll be, So basically when there isn't a proper official tournament, they're going to have friendlies and stuff in middle of June. So obviously footballers don't get time off anymore.
No wonder Ben White's told them all to fuck off. Yeah. Wow. That's we were talking about in the WhatsApp group today, the one of the many ABW groups, and it was Mel, is Ellis, Daniel, Carl and Josh all having a chit chat about the fact that they who's going to get the extra place in the Champions League. And I've put that shit. All the non-big four countries are getting fucked again. How are they ever meant to compete? And then I asked him if anybody, and that the fact that this Euro thing where people are, they're trying, it's either going to be, it looks like it's going to be Italy, Germany, Spain or England that are going to get the fifth one. And apparently the all levels of the European football count the same towards the coefficient, which I think is rubbish. It should be like with the Golden Boot, you get 1 point in the top league and you get half points if it's you're playing in the Swedish leagues and stuff. If you scored 70 goals a season, it only counts as 35. James, is this going to kill the football for the rest of Europe? Because they need money. They need to be in these competitions to get the attendances, to get the TV revenue, to get the prize money. I mean, you get money if you get a draw, and you get even more money if you get a win. But if they're just squeezing out all those other little teams. Malmo once got to the Europa League European Cup final against, I think it was Nottingham Forest. Hamburg once played. I mean, they got to a final. We're never going to see that again, are we? Because these teams can't have the play. Whenever they get a player who can kick a ball, it gets stolen by Real Madrid. They're not going to get money from gate receipts because they get knocked out by all the big clubs. And then it's going, like someone put in the chat, I think it might well have been Boy 10. What did he do? Let me... Oh, here we go. Boy 10 says, Champions League places go down to fifth because the Champions League needs all of the England's big teams to be in the Champions League. Sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, it just, to me, it makes the Champions League now the Super League to appease what was the big Spanish teams and obviously Juventus. Because it's funny, isn't it? All the teams that are financially in the hole have wanted to create something where they have complete financial dominance. And now everyone else has buckled. Instead of going, no, do you know what? Go then and see how you survive on your own, which is what I would have said. they've buckled, and now we're getting. I mean, this is why I would really want to win the Champions League this season, because if we get into it next season, which I think we will, it's going to be a new format. And if you win it in that new format, you'll get all the other dopeys that support the other teams going, oh yeah, but you've won the wanky version. We won it when it was proper. That's why I want to win it now. That's why I want to win it this season. So we could go, no, we've won it when it was the, you know, this, not this condensed crappy format. I mean, I don't think that, I get why it's seeded, because you want the biggest games later on. You want if you can get a Barca Real Madrid final, that's what they all want.
Yeah.
Because of the, and ideally they'd want to play it in Saudi Arabia or somewhere as well to make them even more cash. But I think that it should just be now. It should be a straight knockout, like you've said. Oh yeah,
Jerry,
the God's favorite, and. I think it should be a straight knockout. It should still be seeded, but it should be a straight knockout, because then you may get a Leicester-type scenario where on their day someone could beat, you know, a Barcelona, and then you could get a small team going far. But, yeah, it's ridiculous. It is all ridiculous. I mean, I'm losing count the amount of times I said things are ridiculous tonight already. We only ain't even half an hour in.
I know. Read a few points. Nose says, to me, Atletico is Porto on steroids when it comes to shithousery. They all are. Stefan, getting around the swear filter. Well done, Steph. Social Joins says, Inter are good, but like Porto, they love turnovers to play the transition counter-attack football. Not very good at pressuring the team with possession. Rather give the ball to opposition. James is nodding furiously. His hair's all over the place, like he's having a lovely day out in a convertible doing 90. You know, I was once driving the convertible. This is all bullshit, by the way, I'm lying. And I wanted to see how fast you have to go in a convertible to stop the rain coming in. The answer was 152. I'm not saying that's miles an hour or kmh, but the answer is 152. To share that with you, because I was thinking about your hair flapping around. And apparently it makes your hair greasy if you're in a convertible, all the flapping around. I don't know how that works. Boy 10 says, thought the club World Cup already had that format. Hated it. Playing it on Football Manager, by the way, properly hated it. Avon says, Ben White hasn't told them all to fuck off. He's been quite specific. I mean, he's just told the assistant manager and then the Southgate to go and fuck themselves, and quite rightly too. I don't know what's wrong with him. Stefan says, we are 94.5 million for getting to this stage of the Champions League. Lovely. Boy 10, current Champions League wanky version 2. Back in the day, it used to be only the league winners going into the Champions League. Slippery slope is happening right there. Sai is there. Hello, hello. Just here to drop a like, but we'll catch you so later. That's very kind of you, Sai. Your 5-0 loss didn't come true in the predictions, in case you're wondering. Yeah, we were talking about the way the competitions are going, Nick. Do you like the new format? Because apparently, is it one league of 36 teams next season? And then I think some teams are drawn all by hand and the rest of them are done by computer, Nick. Is there any room for fuckery there to make sure that we... and plus, you don't play the same teams home and away. You play... Is it 8 games? Yeah, because the league before was 6. Now you're playing it for 2 games, which is 8. That's maths. And then... so you're playing 8 different teams. It could be home or away. Is there going to be fuckery, Nick? Is it going to be, oh, we're away to Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus and Inter Milan, but then we're only at home against Cusilati and FC Carrierbag?
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I had a look at it earlier.
You've done a lot of looking tonight, Nick.
Earlier today, and just out of habit, I mean, I see stuff about Champions League, and I'm like, ain't nothing to do with Arsenal. And I remembered, oh, yeah. We're actually good again. I forgot to have a look. But when they said, oh, they're going to have computers doing the draw, I'm like, how does that work? I know how computers work, but it's just weird. It's what it said. They just want the best teams playing each other and in the finals. And it's just how it's been going for years. I mean, it's quite bad. You know, like England are going to get 5 slots that automatically go into the Champions League. And you get people like, you know, Celtic or Rangers win their league and they have to even play qualifying games to get into the group. I thought, well, they are actually the champions, but they have to play qualifying rounds to get into the Champions League. They're already champions. Like, I'm not saying that you should have every team in Europe, you know, all the leagues, but I'd rather have that than just the same old sides and every year. You know, because like I said, the only reason they're trying with Europa League and the new, what's the third stage called now? The one that West Ham won?
Yeah, the Europa Johnson's Pay Cup.
Yeah, it's just because they want more games on, don't they? And they want all these sides playing each other and they're trying to get it, but I don't know. I mean, a lot of people still complain. I mean, I know people who still complain that reckon the draws are fixed. Now, like the FA Cup, where they said don't really heat the balls up and things like that. And people are putting it on Twitter, slowing it down. Look, he picked that ball up, but he dropped it and picked the other one up. So, I don't know. We'll have to see how it get on. But like I said, that was always quite fair that you know, it's luck of the draw. You play each team home and away, and then you go into the knockouts. I'm not really sure what it's going to be in the next one, but we shall see. But hopefully we'll go through that as holders of big ears. That'd be nice.
Yeah, James, I suppose you're just like me. The fact that we both got six packs, because I don't, but you miss the old days of two legs, knockout all the way through.
Yeah, I mean, if it could be that sort of format, like you said, it'd be more exciting. You might get, you know, I remember years and years ago watching the Celtic versus Barcelona when Tony Watt scored and won him the game. And it was one of the best things that I'd seen in terms of atmosphere and everything else. Like the Barcelona players, when they walked out, were just shell-shocked to begin with. They couldn't believe it. They were like, bloody hell, we've never played in anything as loud as this. You could see on their faces, like Messi and Xavi and all that. That was like the prime Barcelona. And they were like, bloody hell, this is a bit much. And you, like Nick's saying, you're going to die. By putting five English teams in, I just think, you know, again, don't want to try and get all politicky on the football podcast, but it's like this where there's participation trophies and everything now. No. You got to, for me, why are you diminishing winning? You know, you can come fifth but still get something. That to me is ludicrous. If you wanted to make it more special, well, you know, mean something, I would say you make the FA Cup winner have that fifth slot, not who comes fifth in the league. And then more people would take the FA Cup seriously. Because the FA Cup hasn't been taken seriously since Man United refused to be in it that year to play in the bloody Club World Cup.
That is a good point. If they would expand it throughout Europe, that your major cup, a lot of countries in Europe only have one cup, France has two, we have two, Scotland have two. If they made it that your version of the FA Cup got into the Champions League, that you'd have a more diversity in clubs and share the money around. But it's just so blatant. It is, we want all the big four in England. Spurs are not in the big four. And you want the big two in, big three in Spain. You want the big two or three in Italy. And wherever you go, they want the big ones in. Give them more money to stop them leaving to have a European Super League. And it's sickening, because if you are a fan of some Swedish side or some lower German side, you make it in there, or Swiss side or Austrian side, you know you're not going to get anywhere, because football is broken like that. And it's the whole point of playing European competitions was to see different teams, and we're playing the same teams over and over. It's annoying. Tony Kay says, what happened to the Cup Winners' Cup? Well, they got rid of it.
The UEFA
Cup became the Europa League, and then they only had
I meant the Cup Winners' Cup became the UEFA Cup.
No, they banned at the same time. Yeah. The UEFA Cup was the Fairs Cup, then the UEFA Cup, then the Europa League. The Cup Winners' Cup was only ever the Cup Winners' Cup, and then the Champions League was the European Cup, and then the Champions League. And yeah, at one point we had the Intertoto Cup as well, which is the fourth European competition, which I think we had three winners per year at one point, which is nonsense. But yeah, they got rid of the Cup Winners' Cup as a third tournament, and now they brought back the Europa Conference League, which isn't the same as the Cup Winners' Cup. But it's a shame they didn't bring that back in a version of the Cup Winners' Cup, where your national cup winner gets into it. That would have been something interesting. But again, they don't give a fuck. which would be interesting in France, because France have got a history of lower league teams getting to the final. And then it'd be PSG v Baguette FC from the fifth tier. And then PSG can't get into the Cup Winners' Cup because they're in the Champions League. And then Baguette FC will play FC Carrier Bag. And a marriage in heaven was made. Baguettes in carrier bags. Nice. Right. What other points was there? Tony K says, thinking about Ben White's Southgate thing, I remember when Cantona telling the French Federation one by one to fuck off. That was good. He was a quality player. I wonder if he looks back at his career, much like George Best, some of the, at the time, one of the best players in the world or right up there, and they just went, nah, don't fancy it, leaving, because he was different gravy when he, James.
Yeah, he was. And I think he said that he has no regrets for, you know, kicking the fan in the face, and also no regrets for not playing for France. I think, was it Houllier in charge of France or something at the time? And he just had enough. He was like, nah. I'm like, a bit like Ben White. He's looked at this lot that are in there at the moment, and he's like, don't fancy it with you. I'll stay at home and I'll watch my box sets. Or, well, you know, back in Eric Cantona's time, it was his VHSs, but yeah.
He can go over his new contract this time, can't he?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
James, you know what actually happened? Because I keep hearing, like, this happened a while ago, but I can't remember exactly what happened. The Twitter's been staring at.
There is so many different rumours.
Yeah.
The main one that I saw that got posted a lot was that the level of the training that was taking place, and in terms of, like, the intensity of it and the actual drills, Ben was like, this is crap. Like, this is so crap. And apparently that Holland got the hump with him. And he was like, well, you're not going to play me anyway. I'm about a third or a fourth choice player. I'm not enjoying myself while I'm here. And they were like, well, you can go then. And he went, okay, probably thinking he's not going to call his bluff and go, all right, then I will. But and then, you know, they twisted it, didn't they, throughout Qatar, that apparently there was some kind of bereavement or something within his family that made him leave. But that, for me, I think the main one, which I've seen the most, I mean, there's so many. I've seen so many even just today. But I do believe that he had some kind, the way Southgate today went, and it wasn't because of an argument with Steve Holland. He did that straight after he said what he said. Makes me think, well, there's definitely something that happened with Steve. Why would you mention Steve Holland if there wasn't something that happened? And yeah, I think he, you know, when Cody and Tyron Mings used to get picked, they were picked just to be, you know, they're cheerleaders, they're water carriers. He's not doing that. Ben White's like, I ain't doing it. Because I know people slate him for the fact that he's come out and said, don't really like football that much. But yeah, he's not going to do it. If he don't want to do it, he doesn't want to do it. And I can't blame him. I wouldn't want to be playing under Southgate if I had the choice. I'd be like, no, I'm all right. I'll stay at home. Wait till we get
England's always been funny with, you know, the factions and, like, the tables were separate. People don't like people. And, you know, apparently people deliberately kick and try to injure people to ruin their club for them in. And when I was watching Ed Wrighty on Monday Night Football, and he was talking about it, you know, you've got a bloke who wins the Golden Boot and he doesn't get called up for England. And you're like, seriously? He scored more goals than any of them, and he doesn't even get a call up and things like that. And you just think, I know there could be other reasons for that as well, but it's just, if your face fit, that's great. And if it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
You know,
I think one of the big things for Wrighty was his personality. And I think Venables and all them at the time, Hoddle as well.
Couldn't control him.
Well, I don't think it was just that, but I think it's like, I can't have a Gazza and you and a Merson. And do you know what I mean? I think they're like, that's too many. Whereas someone would be like, no, I can fester an environment. But I think they just shackled at it. I think they were too frightened to have that many, you know. And plus, Ian Wright's someone, a bit like Ben White as well. If he don't agree with something and he don't like it, he's telling you. And I think those people, you know, especially Hoddle's not going to have anyone tell him that he don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of them England management that's like school head teacher crap. And you're like, no, that's what happened at school. We're in the grown-up workplace environment now. You don't talk down to them like they're children. You know, he's got more money than you, Safegate. Shut up. Do you know what I mean? It's just things like that. He's trying to tell someone who he probably couldn't lace his boots what he's doing wrong. And I do get people, and that's how you talk to people. You talk to people like grown-ups and professionals. You don't talk to them like children, do you?
True. Boy 10 makes a point here. I actually think it's easier nowadays to become a good club that gets into the Champions League regularly. Managers and club philosophies are just suck, and fans don't help it with never wanting to young players to play. Not sure I agree with that. I don't think it's easy at all to get in there regularly. I mean, to get in there, you maybe have a couple of good, like Nice, I think recently they had a couple of good seasons. St. Etienne, they had a couple of good seasons. I don't know if they made the Champions League, and now look at them, they're in the second tier of French football. And I think it's incredibly hard to get in there, let alone get in there regularly. Anyone want to say anything on that?
I agree with you. Yeah. I think to get in there as well when you're, you know, competing against financially dope teams and physically dope teams, it's even more of an achievement as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch the trying to load the Leverkusen game. TNT Sports 7, and it's refusing to land. I haven't been doing cocaine, people. I have got hairs in my moustache and hairs in my nostril, as usual. I've got one of those hair things for my nostrils. I'm scared to use it. It might kill me. So that's what I'm doing. I'm itching myself because it's driving me out of the bloody wall. Stop it. I'm going to watch Brighton instead. Right, back to my notes. What else haven't we done? Let's go back to the game. Nick, the turning point of that game could have been the disallowed goal for Ødegaard, where they said, oh, there was a slight tug. I think I've got the picture here somewhere. This almost barely, considering some of the shit that went on in the game, Nick, to disallow a goal for that, that's absolute nonsense, isn't it? Because then the ball broke free, went to Ødegaard. I think it was Ødegaard, and Ødegaard went, someone hold my beer, did pull his socks up, wallop, back of the net.
I mean, that's just, I mean, I watched the highlights as well, and just the thing, I thought that's the typical, I mean, he's got a handful of his shirt, he's holding back and got a handful of Havertz shirt. That's just what they call six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that's just what they wanted to. I mean, they were still doing the same tactics and throwing themselves on the floor at every corner, three or four players going down. And I'm just surprised that we didn't get a home ref like everybody else seems to get a home ref when they're playing in Europe. It seems like we were almost playing away again. And to be honest, after we scored the first one, I thought, oh, the floodgates will open now. But they just doubled down on their bullshit. So they were playing for penalties for 45 minutes and then throughout the whole of stoppage time. I think they maybe had one half chance from the second half and stoppage time. That was about it, really. And we had a few, but, you know. Like I said, I didn't think that would be as difficult as what it was.
To come back from that, James, is good. And to carry on going after that, and to I'll put here, we never gave up. That was an extremely good thing for the club, for the fans, for the manager to show that in years gone by, something like that would have happened and then the heads would have gone down, as they say, and we'd have stropped our way and end up losing the game. But to do that and then follow on from that, going on to how he refereed the game, it was almost like old school WWF, the Attitude Era, wasn't it? Everything went. It was unreal how much he let go, and I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, some of it was. The main thing for me, you guys obviously, you watch so much more football than I have in my lifetime. Have you ever seen a stretcher for someone with cramp? I couldn't believe my eyes.
Took him off. Look, yeah. I was mystified. Look at them; they're all old OAPs.
Yeah, but for cramp, Danny. For cramp.
One bloke couldn't even walk properly. The one on the right hand side with the black hat on, he couldn't bend over.
Yeah, he's got more cramp than the player.
Fucking hell!
What happened to the little golf trolleys they used to have for people? They started those for a few years, didn't they?
Yeah, ruins the pitch. So they said no bueno.
I couldn't believe. I've never, in my whole time watching football, seen a stretcher for someone with cramp. I was like, this is getting into insane levels.
Yeah, but that's still from the Mourinho thing. Like, apparently he's instilled that in them, like basically the cheating and like 70 minutes, have three people go down injured, cramp, yeah, and things like that. Because the ref, he could, oh, well, that's not a head injury. I'm not going to stop it. But when there's three, four, five people laying down, what's he supposed to do? Because he can't see everybody, and that's why you blow up, because he'd rather be safe than sorry. And that's just the sort of thing that Mourinho's instilled into a lot of these clubs, and they're still doing it now. And that's what I'm saying. I'd rather play a footballing side than a side like that.
Yeah, and I don't know if UEFA does the same as the Prem now. You know, when people have their head injuries now, you have to go off, don't you? And I think, is it something like a minute or so you have to wait before you're allowed back on again? It's like a minute. You have
It's like rolling subs.
Yeah, you have to stand on the side, don't you? But now, yeah, I think in the Champions League, they don't have that. So every time, like you said, Nick, any time there was like two people going up for a header, the other guy straight away head on the floor and they blow because it's like head injury. It's like, yeah, it's annoying. But then I saw a lot of people going, oh, you know, I can't believe they're playing like this, you know, Champions League. And I'm like, what do you... There's so much video analysis and everything else in the world now. They've watched Arsenal for the last 3 weeks before after they've beat us, pummeling everybody. They're not going to come and play football. It would have been stupid if they tried to attempt to play football against us. They've got spanked. So I don't blame... I blame more the ref for allowing them to deploy those sort of tactics. But I don't blame Porto necessarily for playing the way that they did. I'm a big fan of the UFC, Danny. Do you remember Tyron Woodley when he was champion?
Oh, his lanky bloke.
Yeah, all those years ago. Well, yeah. His fights were incredibly boring, but his whole thing was, I'm the champion. You've got to come to... I'm not going to overexert myself for you. You've got to beat me. And I think that's what Porto were like. Porto were like, come to us. We're not coming to you. You've got to break us down. And it took some great magic from Odegaard and a fantastic finish from Trossard to do it. So... happy days.
Even on Wikipedia, it says this is the latest squad, as in the 20th of November. The following players were named. Oh, so Ramsdale has been called up to the England squad again. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in there with Pickford and John Stone from Palace, I think.
Yeah, I heard that.
Not related.
That's nice to know.
I did blag years ago that we were, and that he was coming to Arsenal before he signed for. But I just like to bait people.
Oh, that's mean.
I said he was my cousin, and he was coming to Arsenal.
Jared Braithwaite, Ezri Konsa, never heard of him.
Aston Villa.
Yeah. There's some names in there that aren't regulars. Anthony Gordon, Newcastle. Oh, he's a good player. He's been playing well. Ivan Toney on one cap. Cole Palmer. He's doing all right at Chelsea. Jared Bowen, it's nice to see him get back in it. Ollie Watkins, that's another good one. But it's strange that he's included Ramsdale when he's empty Ramsdale. That is, what do we think? Nick said before the show started, are we going to cover the Brentford game? But Nick, what do you think about Ramsdale's testimonial farewell tour or whatever it was? Is that any way for a man to bow out, a nightmare at first, and then really prove that he's a decent goalkeeper later in the game? I don't want to spend too much time on this.
We all knew it was coming. They were talking about it. I mean, they still won't let it go. And a lot of the podcasts, me included, won't let it go.
He wouldn't let it lie.
No, we won't. But we knew it was coming. They were chasing him down the whole game. And he was just like, mate, I don't care what Arteta's told you. You're not getting in. Oh, play it out from the back. Every time you get that ball, just fucking launch it. And what's he going to do? Drop you? Do you know what I mean? He's dropped you anyway. He's decided he's going to go with him. And we all knew it was coming. And like I said, yeah, he made the mess up, which, you know, not the best back pass to him, in other words, but they were all chasing down the whole game. And it's not like he dawdled on the ball. He took one touch to make it out and tried to get it, and he was just on him because they knew his confidence was down, and that's just what happens. But then he made some really good saves. I mean, that one from Toney a bit later on, I mean, that's the sort of thing he's been doing for the last 2 or 3 years, making those saves, which... it's good that you remember a goalkeeper making all these worldy last-ditch saves, but is that what a goalkeeper does for a side that win the league? Or do they just not... you don't really notice they're there. They might make one or two a season or a penalty save, and that's it. Do you see what I mean? When we talk about people like David Seaman, his world-class saves, you could probably pick five out of, like, a 10-year career at Arsenal. Whereas Ramsdale, he's got a highlight reel of 2 years of about 15 to 20 world-class saves. Like the one, you know, ones against Leicester and things like that. So I think like a lot of people, he should have just sold him in the summer and just bought him and just done it. Because this is something obviously Arteta will learn from. And whether or not because of financial fair play, and I know it's Everton have been done and they're talking about Forest getting done, whether or not we really cannot sign Raya until this summer and the funds weren't there, you know, like I said, I mean, a few people said about Ramsdale, like, I think it was on the last pod, they were talking, oh, we'll get 50, 60 million for Ramsdale, we'll get this, maybe we won't get 15 million for Ramsdale.
Really?
I don't think we'll get 15 million. We'd struggle to get double figures. I really do. We paid about 21, 22 from him. Yeah, but they know he's surplus to requirements. Big clubs do not sell players like that for big money who don't play for them. They normally, like, we've done it for years where they eventually drag their contracts down. If we're holding out for 50 million, I don't think we'll get it off anyone. I think we'd be lucky to get 15. If people offer us 15, just take it.
I've got an inkling that he's going to be used for money. Going to be swapped for money and a player.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But I can't see...
I just hope it's not the player that I think it's going to be. But there we go.
What player are you thinking?
Well, the big link is him going to Chelsea. And yeah, I really hope that we don't swap him for Mudryk. But I can see
I don't want Mudryk anywhere near this fucking club.
I don't now after what happened. But
stroppy knickers.
We always sign a Chelsea player every window lately. We always sign a Chelsea player for two people that are supposedly massive rivals. We love doing business with one another.
So, we get to pay over 8 years.
And I don't know if Pochettino will stay. Whoever they'll get in charge will want a goalkeeper, 100%. And I think Ramsdale will. He doesn't have to leave. He likes living in London. Obviously, he's had the baby now. Wife's there, everything, everyone's happy. So, yeah, I can see him wanting to leave.
Tony says, will Zinny ever stop passing the ball to the opposition? Havertz had to take a yellow card to stop the counter-attack. Oh,
Danny, him and Nketiah, when they come on, how did they look more tired than people that have run nearly 100-plus minutes? Again, that's another thing that baffled me. But, yeah, Zinchenko and Bambi, as I was calling him, because he just kept falling out. I was like, get some proper fucking studs on your boots, boy. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, look at this. This is during the first penalty, people at home. And I did tweet this and say, look at Eddie, hands down by his side. Looked like he's just been sent to his room to tidy it up. And his body language says a lot. And someone pointed out, well, Rice has got his hands down by his side. I mean, Rice is next to Eddie, so maybe he didn't want to touch him. White has got his arm round Eddie. All the rest of them, they're all arm in arm just before Ødegaard's going to take the penalty. Can we read anything into that, James?
No, I don't think so. I mean, everyone was showing the other picture as well at the end when Raya makes the save and all of them are two hands in the air running and Jesus is just like that with one arm. He's like, and I was like, well, that's because he was the next one to take. He was the fifth taker, so he's probably upset that he didn't get to win it. I mean, fair play to Jesus. He's come in. I thought he looked a lot better than he has the last couple of weeks. And if it wasn't for the fact that the Porto keeper probably has a big knob, he would have scored his goal because he saved it with his penis, didn't he, the guy for Porto. So fair play. No, it was I think we need as many players that are coming back to hit the form that we've seen. And that includes, is Zinchenko my favourite? I was a big fan, but the more, for what he gives you, you don't get the defensive stability. And I'm like, if you're going to be that sort of player, you need to get at least double digits in assists, and he's not going to do it. So it's not for me. The other player, I mean, Kvyat the other night, if I could touch on him quick, I thought he was superb. Yeah. He made
a lot more balance with him in the team, don't we?
Yeah, and especially where we're not inverting as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Before we had Rice and people like that in the side and have it. Whereas Zinchenko, he used to come into the midfield because we don't need him to come into midfield now. And if we tell him to defend, he's not as good as defending with Kvyat. So I know he's Arteta's friend, you know, mate, and he worked with him before at Chelsea. And this is the thing Arteta's got to learn. if the players on who are playing and we're winning, you don't mess with a winning formula. You know, you don't bring in your mates like, oh yeah, I know you're my mate and I was your best man at your wedding, but this guy's on fire. We've conceded 3 goals in like 10 matches and scored like 40. I can't swap you out. And if he puts on a strop, I'd say, well, tough shit. I'm glad you got a strop on because you want to play. But footballers have to understand if the bloke, you know, if you go off injured and the bloke makes his position your own, then you've got to wait your turn, haven't you?
I just look at it and you've got, obviously, Kivior, you found Kivior now. Ever since he had to come on against Liverpool, he's been fantastic. So you've discovered a player there. You've got Timber coming back that was probably going to be the guy that would play there the most. And you've also got Tomiyasu. So I'm like, he's what, fourth in the pecking order? So I do believe in the summer he's definitely going because he believes in it. You know, this is someone that thinks he's one of the big leaders in the group. He's not, but he thinks he is. And I think
he can come on though, can't he?
He's not easy
to bring on, and he can play in midfield. Yeah. So if Royce is on a booking or whoever's on a booking, oh, he can step in midfield for 20 minutes, you know, just to sort of help out and things like that. So it's not like he's not going to get any minutes at all.
I don't think he would take being a, considering he's been our first choice left back and now he's what, fourth choice. I don't think he accepts that. I think in the summer he's definitely one that's going to go.
Yeah, 6 million.
Boy 10 says Zinchenko has to be sold. Him and Jesus should also never buy anyone from City that they are trying to sell. Only the ones they want to keep. Much like Matey Boy has gone. Phillips has gone to West Ham and done absolutely nothing other than getting sent off. And Boy says, pretty sure this is just a purple patch for Kivior. Let the Italians have him if they forward us 40 million. Boy 10,
I'll tell you what, though, just to jump in on that, Boy 10, he's right. That's how you make money. You get players who are young having a purple patch at the time of their lives and thinking, wow, this guy's really overachieving for what we thought.
Yeah.
If we're going to get money for him, sell him. You know, and we've got other players coming back fit or, you know, what long term. You know, like Liverpool have done it, you know, they've sold absolute crap players for 20, 30 yeah. million lower down the leagues. And you thought, you paid how much for him? And then they've just completely ended their careers within like a year. That's how you make money. Like I said, if we could get 40 million for him and he's playing really well, how are we going to get 50 million for Ramsdale who's not playing?
Yeah, that is a point.
Do you see what I mean? I would probably take that now.
Only cost us 17. Offering. 17 million, not a bad buy. Boy 10, when I do the preview shows, I've changed. You know, I go 1 p.m. in Vancouver, 7 a.m. in Sydney. I've now got people to tell me roughly where they are. Like Lone Star Londoner is in Texas. Sai is in Dallas. So if you tell me where you are, Boy, then occasionally when I do the South Africa one, I will go and Boy 10 in blah blah. It's 3 p.m. kickoff. So if you want to put it in the chat, if you want me to, just I think you said it's Cape Town. I just want to make sure, then I'll add it in. Right. Tony Kay says Chelsea sold De Bruyne and Salah. And who else did they sell? There was loads of them, wasn't there? I mean, they got rid of Declan Rice. All these players they'd be killing for. Now, although De Bruyne got an injury again. Lovely.
Did he get injured or did he just get hooked and have a whinge?
No, he's not playing for Belgium, so I think they've either pulling
apart. That's a classic Guardiola.
That's a dodgy, isn't it?
Yeah, like Ferguson used to. I don't know why we're the only big club out of all of the English ones that never pull our players. I think we tried it once years ago with Gilberto for Brazil, and it kicked. I remember it being a massive thing. And we've never done it. Wenger never used to pull any.
But we've always had players that have been injured like long. So didn't even like Thomas Rosicky, like he was out for 18 months and Diaby. Didn't they even call him up? Well, our doctors will say whether they're injured or not.
Yeah.
Let's X-ray that leg and make sure it's actually broken.
I don't think they needed to X-ray Thomas Rosicky. I think he just needed to pee in a cup and they'd find out what the problem was with him. But
allegedly, yes.
I mean,
yes.
Diaby turned up for international duty with one of his legs in a carrier bag, and they still made him turn up. Absolutely ridiculous.
Still made him do a fitness test.
And Ryan Giggs only managed to play 12 games for Wales in his entire 30-year career at Premier League football.
Yeah, it was 12, like, proper games and missed all the friendlies.
It is. Right, the other bit I wanted to talk about, we have got a little bit of nepotism going on at the football, as we saw Trossard and his dad. It's lovely for them to both be on the pitch at the same time. Belgium, France, France, Belgium, basically the same country. And they're talking to each other. They've got the same haircut. They've got the same gaunt eyes, like they haven't slept in a month. I think FIFA needs to look into this. Interesting. Right. Next bit is we didn't bottle penalties, which was lovely. AC Jimbo, go to the Totally Football podcast if you don't agree with this. James, 4 pens in the Charity Shield, scored all 4. 9 pens in the Premier League, scored all 9. You've got a little bit extra to add to that. And 4 pens in the Champions League penalty shootout, scored all 4. I'm surprised we haven't had a Champions League penalty in normal play. But that little stat you had to add to that, and what do you think about our ability with penalties? Because historically, Arsenal shit the bed when it comes to penalties.
Yeah, I think, like it was on Twitter earlier, I think it's 9 different takers. I could be corrected on that. So if anyone in the chat knows the actual, I think it was 9 different people who've taken the penalties all season. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant, because you never know when you're going to get a penalty shootout. So you've got to be, I mean, Ali McCoist the other night, I thought he was insufferable. All of the, I'd sub Ramsdale on now because Reyes, you know, I was like, well, hang on a sec. I think in the whole time Ramsdale's been here, he only saved the 2 penalties in the Community Shield. Reyes had one against West Ham. Okay, we were already, what was it, 3-1 or something down in that game. And it was a crap penalty. That guy for West Ham that took the penalty, it was a rubbish penalty. And he saved it right near the end. When Rice gave it away, but I was so happy. As much as I was happy for Ramsdale the other night for that second half, I was so happy for David Raya to have that, because he's had a lot of unnecessary flack, Danny, from fans, because they didn't agree with what Arteta's done. And I was like, well, why are you blaming the player for a choice that the manager's made? And again, a lot of that is where I go back to my thing that you've got Arsenal fans and then you've got Arteta fans. And it's like, oh, I can't critique Arteta because I've backed him to the hilt so much on social media that the minute I change, I'm going to look like I'm a flip-flop. Well, that's football. Things happen. You're allowed to change your mind. It doesn't mean anything. Did I agree with Ramsdale being dropped? Not necessarily, but David Raya is a better goalkeeper than him. And he's proven he's a better goalkeeper than him. And the other night as well, even in normal time, I thought he had a really, really good game. He made 2 big saves. And then there was the point there that someone made earlier about Zinchenko dithering on the ball and giving that corner away. Well, that was right near the end of the extra time. And you were just thinking to yourself, weren't you? Oh, God, I hope you lot are organised on this court. You know, I hope you do this corner properly. Didn't need to, because David Raya just ran and jumped and caught the ball and then just threw it out straight away. That's what I like about him as well. You know, his distribution is class. It is like having a fifth defender there because of how well he is with his feet and everything else as well.
Yeah. Nick, you got anything to say on that?
Yeah, I don't think anyone actually hated Raya. It's just the situation of everyone knew he was coming in to be number one. We all thought, well, this is the end of Ramsdale. We're going to sell him. We didn't. So basically he shot Ramsdale confidence and price tag to pieces, you know, and obviously to get him in the side, like, you know, a lot of the defenders in the team now are thinking, hang on, Ramsdale just got voted keeper of the season. He's our mate. He's one of the Brits. Are they not going to take to Raya and sort of blame him a bit for what's happening? Because, you know, and that's not Raya's fault. It's just the way it was handled. Just get it done. Like I said to you, Danny, like at the start of the season, I didn't know if that was done when old Seaman replaced John Lukic. I thought he kept him there for a season. He didn't. He said he sold him pretty much straight away.
Back to Leeds, yeah.
Yeah, just sold him, done. And you think, oh, all right. I mean, if we were going to sell Ramsdale, the time would have been last summer, because like I said, he was voted, you know, best keeper in the league. We could have possibly got 50 off of a Chelsea for him last summer. And I mean, I know they've been looking for a keeper for a while. I don't know if the one they bought, I don't know who they bought, but. And even
United, the Croatian lad from MLS. Yeah, and
even United, they bought, what's his face? He ain't exactly brilliant. Was it Anana? But if they'd have thought, hang on, we can get Ramsdale off Arsenal, 40 million, 50 million. Well, he's Premiership proven. That's not really a risk. Look how good he is. He's British premium. You know, so, you know, one of the, you know, however many we have for having the squad, we probably could have got 50 million for him last summer. It's just, you know, whatever reason they didn't. And that's just only now is everyone starting to look a bit more settled. And I just think that first few months, you know, where everyone was sort of going at each other's throat, that could have been avoided by, I won't say it's Arteta, Edu, the backroom staff. But like I said, hopefully they learn from that and don't let it happen again.
There you go. Anyone got any questions? I've had it running down the bottom of the screen for a while now, and there's been fuck all questions. You lot have got one job. Well, you've got two jobs. Comments.
Well, when and everyone's happy.
Maybe they are. Maybe they want us to bugger off. We've done an hour and 5 minutes. Could be the shortest one in the history of ABW proper podcasts. Was there anything else? The international break. Do either of you, don't both shout no at the same time, either of you give a fuck about international break football? Well, one at a time. Nick?
No.
James?
God, no. I won't watch them, Danny. I won't watch them.
Well, I'm interested in Brazil. The friendlies and the little games.
I like the World Cups because I'm not far away from a Tesco Express and the Marses are cheaper, Walkers become cheaper, ooh, you know, Pepsi Max becomes cheaper, Stellas are cheaper. That's why, you know, McDonald's put stuff through the letterbox for cheaper Big Macs when the World Cup or Euros is on. So yeah, I get into all of that, but these friendlies and everything else, I mean, even the tournaments, like you said earlier, Danny, I would go now. It's got to a stage where I'd be like, right, Spain, England, Italy, Germany, you're automatically in.
Yeah.
And you let the others play, and then that gives them what does an England be a qualifying group with a San Marino or Liechtenstein, or, and then, you know, Kane gets to stat pad his way to a record goal scorer trophy.
True.
Okay, he does score in tournaments. I'll throw, you know, I won't proper dig Kane out there. He does score. He actually does score in World Cups.
You can like him now he's left that place. You can like him again.
Unlike Rooney, he does actually score in tournaments. Mm. But, you know, for me, I don't get how this helped, because then everyone gasses up England and think they're amazing, and then when they come against a France or someone who could actually fucking play, we get embarrassed because we believe.
James, if you look at it, rather, why don't you let these lesser teams play each other and have their own little tournament, and there's actually, hang on, we're playing other lesser teams, we could have two or three teams that win whatever these qualifying tournaments are and go to the final, whereas none of these teams will ever get there because they're putting them against sides that have got smashing 5 or 6-0 with their reserves, whereas you could get some of these sides actually go, and then that'd be worth watching, wouldn't it? You know, wild card or whatever you call
it.
That'd be more interesting.
I don't get how it helps these nations getting pumped by like 6, 7, 8, 9 goals at a time.
It's got to just be financial.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bayer Leverkusen, breaking news. They were 1-0 down. Then Karabag had a man sent off, and then Karabag scored 4 minutes later. They had their left-back sent off. And then Frimpong scored on 72. It's now up to the 90th minute, and they're losing 2-1. This could be their first loss in all competition. I think it's the best part of 40 games unbeaten, which is, that's a hell of an achievement. The longest run in German football. Oh, pardon me, that's the monster coming through. That's a little bit sad. An update on the other scores that I'm looking at. Marseille lost 3-1 to Villarreal, but Marseille are through. Benfica beat Rangers 1-0, and they're through. West Ham smashed Freiburg 5-0. Matey boy there, the manager, David Moyes hasn't said whether he's going to sign a new contract or not, because all the West Ham fans are bitching and moaning, but they're into the quarterfinal of another European Cup.
Yeah.
That's the Charlton, Alan Kerbyshire effect all over again, isn't it? You can answer that if you want.
Yeah, it's a lot of these clubs. I mean, I don't know what more they expect for their team and their managers to do. I mean, I've got a West Ham bloke at work. He still goes on about winning the FA Cup in 1980 against Arsenal. I'm like, dude, I wasn't born then. But, you know, having a run in Europe and staying in the Premiership is the best a lot of these clubs are ever going to do. Yeah. So why? I mean, we saw when we were spanking them and they were all walking out after 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, where are you going? You're moaning about the price of tickets and you move to a shitty stadium. And it is a shitty stadium. I've been walked around it and stuff like that.
It's not even a football stadium. What more do
you want? I said, you're going to moan. You'll sack Moyes. You'll get rid of all these people.
Yeah.
And guess where you'll be in 2 years? In the Championship.
Yeah.
It's what always happens.
Right, you'll be loved with Norwich.
Yeah.
Well, they make me laugh. They're 4 points off top six. Yeah. And they're in the quarterfinals of Europe. But they're not back. Good enough. But Moyes has taken us backwards. I'm like, well, you know, I've been alive 32 years. I don't remember very often you getting in quarterfinals of Europe and finishing in the top six.
Quarterfinals of anything.
Exactly. I'm like, this is the thing. They've won one trophy and it's gone to their absolute, Billy it's gone to their balls. Bloody heads. And yeah.
Bullshit. Get a grip, you fuckers. Bayer Leverkusen have equalised. Patrick Schick. Alex Grimaldo, no relation to Jules Grimaldi. 92nd minute. That is weird because in the last leg, they scored in the 92nd minute as well. So come on, Leverkusen. Although I'm a Dortmund fan, I'd love to see them doing well. Liverpool won 6-1. Atalanta 2-1, Brighton a 1-0, but they're 5-2 down, 4-2 down on aggregate. That's all over and done with. Any other Villa 4-0 up? Ajax had a man sent off. Did you see the? I'm going to go and get this. Well, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to go and bring up the how Aubameyang is doing because it is something else. Boy, says I blame. No, he's banging in. He's playing the game. He's on the form of his life at the moment. Boy Tem says, I blame Chelsea, PSG and City for killing football. Exactly. West Ham fans have a problem to be this dumb, to be dumb this season. Exactly. Social, West Ham should just get Potter next season. and Boy says, man, I wanted Grimaldo when he was still a teenager at Barcelona. Well, I've got some questions, you beautiful bastards. Nick, you can start off with this one. The top question from Boy 10, the first question. Who is better, Rice, Rodri, or Endo?
At the moment, I think Rice and long-term. I mean, Rodri's good, but I don't know who the last bloke is, to be honest. That's
£100 million one at Chelsea.
Oh, him?
Yeah. No, Endo's the one at Liverpool. He's the Japanese.
Is he?
Yeah, you're thinking of Enzo Fernandez.
Oh,
Endo's the Liverpool.
Yeah, I didn't think he was, but everyone who joins Liverpool's like the greatest player that's ever lived from day one until they leave when they're overrated shit and they're glad to be gone. But I mean, Royce is looking I say 100 million. If he's here for 10 years, he's looking at a steal, really, isn't he? Another one Chelsea let go.
True.
Yeah, but at the moment, I think that's between Royce and Rodri who's playing the best. I mean, Rodri, he's been doing it for what? 3 or 4 seasons, pretty much. And isn't that stat where if he doesn't play, they don't win as well?
I think it's 61 games unbeaten with Rodri. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Playing at Newcastle shithouse him at the weekend so he gets sent off.
Oh, yeah, because we've got them coming up next.
Exactly. We? Yeah. I'm like, come on, Newcastle, wind him up. Come on, Willock, do it for the boys. Antagonise him.
Yeah, but obviously, I remember when I used to watch football years ago. My dad used to watch it with him, and he used to get really like tinfoil hat. We're like, oh, well, that's Phil Neville, who's playing for Everton, and because he's an ex-Man United, he deliberately injured that player to help them out and things like that. And I used to be like, shut up, Dad. But sometimes I think he's got a point, isn't he?
Leverkusen 3-2. Patrick Schlick. No, that was the second goal. They're winning.
To answer that question, by the way, again, probably going to sound biased, but for me, it's Rice because Rice can carry a ball and score goals.
Mm.
If anything, he's basically two players in one because you can put him at 6 and 8. You can't put Rodri at 8. He's a brilliant. He's arguably the best in the world at 6, but yeah, he's not an 8. Whereas Rice can do both. That's why.
All right, got a little something to before we go back to the next question. Aubameyang's current, what is this? His form. He is in his last five games, four man of the matches, 2 4 assists, 8 goals, 1 assist, 2 yellow cards, form of his life. I mean, and that's not all in the Farmers League. They've played Shakhtar Donetsk, and they've also played Villarreal, double L, double R, for those taking notes. That's that's not too shonky, is it?
It's highest scorer in the history of the Europa League now.
Oh, I didn't score tonight though. Yeah, Bayern were winning 3-2. Oh, it was Patrick Schick that got that. Lovely. Right, more questions. Down to two comments. There you go. I've only been doing this for 12 years. Social joins, James. Who do you want from tomorrow's Champions League draw? We did cover this a little bit, but I can't remember who said what.
Any of them but Man City was my answer. I think the same as Nick as well.
Now you have to pick one.
Yeah. Okay.
I said Real Madrid.
Going off that, I'll have PSG.
And I want Dortmund.
Yeah.
So we can definitely get through to more money, more prestige on a team that we can beat. Because Dortmund, my German team, they are shit. But they're quite good in Europe, which is a bit of a quandary.
I would like the revenge on Barcelona. I would
save them for the final.
Can you imagine if we played them and just spanked them over 2 minutes?
We would.
Like, I was just saying, that would just imagine the momentum we'd have to spank Barcelona or Real over to get, you know, something like that.
Real Madrid, they've only lost 2 games all season, but they do concede. The chances that they let up and people haven't took, I don't think we'd be as wasteful. I think we could. I know everyone's like, oh, it's Real Madrid, it's Real Madrid. I'm like, no, I could see us.
It's not the Real Madrid of old, is it?
Yeah, I could see us giving them a game.
Good. Yeah, I want Barcelona in the final. Smash them. They've had 2 players injured long term, 2 more players injured at the weekend. I think AC Jumbo said they had a 16 and a 17 year old start in the Champions League. They're there to be plucked, spanked, and put in the bin. Nick, Tony K says, is party too rusty to use for any game as we virtually need to win every single match?
Well, he's all right for doing how we've been playing just recently. He's just coming on to give people a rest when the job's been done with like 20 minutes to go, usually. So that's fine with that. But I mean, like I said, you're not going to bring him on if we're drawing or losing, if we need a goal, are we? So I said, no, Russ, just, you know, if he's got, you know, for him to get match fit, to bring him on with 20 minutes to go when the game's done is fine. Doesn't matter if he's rust. He's only going to get his match fit if he plays matches. And 20 minutes here, half an hour here should be fine. Maybe give him a run out in the next Champions League game as well.
He'll start because, and I think it was a good friend, Hente, the other day, sent it to me. Yes. So far this season, I think we've had nearly 6.5 days between our games. But after this break, it's going to go down to 3.5 days between games.
I think it's 3.8.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I do agree with you. I think you're going to have to. It's one of the big things for Mikel. He trusts a select group and then the others don't really get in. And I'm like, no, you really need to be using your squad now. But I do agree with what you said, Nick, about the lot that are in now, don't change them because that happened last year. Do you remember when Jesus got straight back fit and Trossard, who had been carrying it, come out? Yeah. And I was like, I think he realised I got burnt there, so he's not going to do it again. I think he knows now, like, I'm going to stick
with this. Jesus got injured, Eddie couldn't score in a brothel, and then Trossard was just banging him in. Didn't he score, like, 10 goals in the first, like, 10 or 15 games
from signing
us? Yeah. And then he came back, and he just completely dropped him out of the side and was playing Jesus up front, and then he couldn't score either because you could tell he wasn't match fit. But this is just stuff that Arteta's got to learn. And he'll either learn and we'll do well and we could win the league or he'll mess it all up and we won't.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the fixtures towards the end of the season because someone's asked a question. I think we've got one more question there. Stefan says, what would you say to the Porto manager about his family? Apparently he didn't say it. Arteta didn't. He also accused somebody else saying it after another game. He's a bit of a bullshit merchant.
Yeah. He's lost three games to English opposition and yeah. said all three times that the English manager said stuff about his family. Well,
and if you see at the end of the game, him and Arteta are talking and Arteta's going, shaking his gun, yeah. no.
But then Danny, again, it might be a bit of a rough subject, but I mentioned it last night, so I'll mention it again here. I'm from the Zidane class. You know, I've lost my mum. If you say something about my mum, regardless of the settings or whatever, hands. why are you allowing three people to talk this stuff about your mum that's passed away? And she means this much to you, you know.
And they, none of them did it.
Well, this is it. It rings hollow to me after three times, I'm afraid. I just don't believe it. I believe Arteta laid some F's and Jeffs into him, but I can't believe he said something about his mum because the guy's son plays for the team as well, and he shook everybody's hand afterwards. I just think you're a bit of a salty bastard. That's all.
Maybe he's a Liverpool fan and he's the victim. Now we're moving on to the question from final question, which is from formerly Nozar. Out of the top three, who has the hardest run of games towards the end of the season? As it stands, our last three, Bournemouth at home, Man United away, Everton at home. Nick, rate that out of 10, hardness. Bournemouth at home, Man United away, Everton at home.
7.
I don't know how I'm going to keep a. I'm going to try and keep a note of this.
I'm not sure how you rate that out of 10.
Nick's given that one a 7, so that's Arsenal's one a 7. How are you going to rate that, Nick? James, the last three games.
So yeah, Bournemouth, Everton, and United, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about six or 7. I'll go for 7 as well. Yeah, I'll
play. I think United might be pushing on the Champions League and may need to win to get into top four or Europe altogether. Everton, with their point deductions, they could still be down there. I don't know if they will be, but they could be. And Bournemouth, are they flying high at the moment, Bournemouth?
They were 3-0 down against Luton and 1-4-3.
Yeah, I know, that was a good game. But then, yeah. You know, that's the sort of thing, you lose two games in the Premiership and then all of a sudden you're looking at relegation, aren't you?
Yeah.
You want to be playing teams that will be on the beach by then, don't you?
Well, I'm giving that a 6. I don't rate Bournemouth. I mean, we're at home, so we're going to win. That's Bournemouth and Everton. And Man United, are they just shit? And we've really beat them. Do we beat them this season? Can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it in front of me now.
Yeah.
The last 10 for all three.
Oh, fuck. Can't do 10.
Yeah, so the last 10 games. But out of the last three games,
yeah,
Liverpool have the hardest. They've got Spurs, Villa, and Wolves.
So what are you going to give them out of 10? So it's Spurs at home, Villa yeah. away, and Wolves yeah. at home.
I'd say that's about an 8.
I disagree. I think that's a piss easy one. I think Spurs will be done by then.
Yeah,
won't finish. They'll be Europa League, nothing more, and they'll be on the beach. I think same with Villa. I think they'll be on the beach and just won't even put up. And I think Wolves will be mid-table and safe and they'll be on the beach.
So what are you giving that, Nick?
2. I think they'll win all three. Easy. I wouldn't be surprised if they won't even concede a goal in all them three.
I think if you've got Tottenham and Villa needing to get 4th or 5th, especially now that 5th gets you a Champions League, I think they could both be up for it. And then Wolves... I think Gary O'Neill's a very good manager.
Hmm.
And I think Wolves on their day could give anybody a game.
Yep.
I don't think that Liverpool might absolutely blow them out. I'll probably get that wrong. That's famous last words. But
I think that's the last game of the season.
Yeah.
And Liverpool need to win that to either win the league or, you know, if that's all within a point or two, they have to win it. Wolves will be in a situation where their mid-table can't go up, can't go down. I'm just saying, I think Spurs and Villa will have dropped off, so I think they'll both be guaranteed Europa League by then. That's what I'm saying. So it
could be. Could be.
That's what I'm saying. You want to play teams that are on the beach, whereas the teams we're playing, like I said, Man United probably won't be on the beach just then. Another time could, you know, another Everton could be down the bottom at relegation, especially if they get those points overruled again and another 10-point stock. They could need to, you know, that could be Arsenal need to win the Premiership, but Everton need to win or they're getting relegated. They'd love that, wouldn't they?
I think that's a harder run than we've got, but I'm only giving that a 7 to 1 more than
City got six. Wolves, Fulham and West Ham, and I think they win all three of them games.
I mean, West Ham will be, hopefully for them, playing in the Europa League or Conference League final around that. Fulham are good at home, but yeah. And then Wolves always tricky, but I'm going to give them, I'm going to say that's about a 5.
Yeah.
If that, how Man City and Liverpool playing Wolves at the last game of the season?
Or Wolves. I mean, if they're trying to,
that's not their exact last game. I just, West Ham is Man City's last game of the season. Everton's ours, and Wolves is Liverpool's.
So what are you going to get?
I hope I'm wrong. I'm hoping Everton are mid-table and done and on the beach. And I hope a lot of them are. But the thing is, though, we've just got to keep going the way we're going. And if we come back and we're still as good as we were on our last mini break that we had, we just got to keep it rolling through Christmas. And hopefully, you know, I mean, we beat Man City. The confidence will be through the roof. The goals are coming. Everything's great. They just got to concentrate and just beat them at that next game, and that's on.
Yeah, yeah. I think if we beat Man City away, I'll go out on a limb and say I think we've got a really bloody good chance, because I think that will character define for them, and I think they'll kick through. I mean, we've got good at the perfect time. Last year, we for 30 games of that season, we were immense. And then when it was the crunch of those last 8 games, our arses fell out, really, didn't it?
Yeah, injuries at the back and the goals dried up.
Exactly. And I'm like, now you've got people that you. I didn't see this kind of form from Kai Havertz. I've said that he was better at 9 than he was as a midfielder, but I didn't think that he would be, you know, scoring in 4 consecutive games, doing everything that he's doing, and. Again.
He's a nuisance as well, though.
He is. He's such a pain in the ass.
I see what brilliantly. He's saying now. I mean, a lot of us were sort of giving him grief at the start of the season because we were playing him all wrong. But now we see where we need to play. I was like, just keep him there. I mean, I know Jesus might be, oh, boss, I should play. I played for you at Man City. Look at the Amazon documentary. Play me. I was like, no. We're winning games 5-0, mate. Why are you going to get back in? Sit on the bench and come on. And if you score and you do well and someone else get injured, you'll get your chance. If not, get on with it.
Up on the screen now for people at home and on the bus is all games this season. And we can see what James was saying, that at the moment we've lost 1 out of 10. We've won 9 and lost 1. And then look at this point last season. In that same run of 10, we'd drawn 2 and lost 1. And then at this point last season, exactly game 41, like you're saying, James, fell on our arse. We had another 9 games to go, won 3, drew 3, lost 3. This is the point where we test, because look how often, looking down those seasons, how many times towards the end of the season we fall apart. And unless there's no pressure, then we win all of the games because there's no pressure and they can't cope. But this is game 41. This is the magic time. If we can pull this out here, we've got, what is it, another 10 games in the Premier League to go, 2 in the Champions League to go. Is it 10 in the Premier League? Never sure.
Yeah.
Yes. 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So the biggest 12 games of Arteta's career. And in that 12 games, we could win the league and win the Champions League, like I said in the preseason predictions. But there again, I was on crack at the time. So don't take too much notice of that.
If I can throw one out to you guys. Yeah,
go on.
Again. Because you're more tenured fans than I've been. So you've seen stuff at Arsenal that I haven't. Where do you rank, if we do this double, where do you place this Arsenal team in terms of the great ones? Because I got asked, do I think that it's a buck in my lifetime, because I wasn't obviously 89, and then 1991, I was just a baby. So they're like, where do you put? I said, for me, the consistency of being unbeaten over 38 games, I think, is still a bigger achievement than winning a champ this double. But I would say they've got to be maybe second out of that era for me. And I loved the two. I thought the 2001-02 team played better football than the Invincibles. And I loved that team from 98 because that was the first season that I started going. So that has that emotional attachment. But yeah, if we did it, where would you place that team for you guys? If Arsenal ended up winning the Champions League and the Prem, where does that
first? First by a mile.
Really?
The Invincible season, we were rubbish quite a lot of it. We drew a lot of games. Some games we came back from playing terrible and being down. Best season for me was 98. We just destroyed everyone and no one expected us to. 98-02 and then the Invincible. Although being invincible, no one's ever going to do it. It's harder to do. But as an achievement, would I rather be invincible or rather do the Premier League Champions League double? Well, I'd rather do that. So, and watching them.
Fair enough. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but the football we play in this season, second half of this season, is absolutely stunning. But that we haven't played this second half of the season, we haven't played anybody hard so far. The big games are still to come.
Yeah, I've had a Liverpool at home. Yeah, that was.
Don't know how we managed to do that, but yeah, I'd put that double as the best season ever because we have been shit in Europe for God knows how long. We've lost every European trophy Wenger ever played in. He lost the final. He's the only manager who's been runners up in the league, the FA Cup, the League Cup, the Charity Shield, the UEFA Cup, the Champions League. The European Super Cup, I think he was. Were we in that one? Or maybe that was George Graham. He's the only manager that I know of that has been runner-up in every competition he's ever played in. I mean, that's not good. I mean, did some other stuff as well. What do you think, Nick?
I don't really like comparing like now to then. I saw these people who was like, oh, who do you think? Oh, do you think AJ would do Tyson in his prime, or do you think Tyson would have done it? You can't really compare them because it's just different generations, different times. But I mean, if they do the Champions League and Premiership double, I've never seen anyone, Arsenal ain't done that since then. So that's going to be up there. I mean, is the Champions League and the Champions League and the Premiership, that's a better double than the Premiership and the FA Cup, right?
Yeah, because it's been done so many times.
Because we've never done it as well. Yeah,
because we've done the double-double, so...
Done it probably 5-4 times.
So you'd say that, yeah, that's at least up there with 98 and 02, possibly better. And Invincibles, just because of how unique it was. So that'd be up there, wouldn't it? But it'd be nice to actually have stuff like that to actually compare. Because we haven't had a really competitive side who's... I mean, imagine if we had a decent striker up front banging in the goals. Not knocking Havertz, but someone with him who was actually smashing it. You know, if we had like a peak, like Van Persie or something like that unreal. Right now.
Yeah, we'd be clearer than a point at the top of the league, 100%. Yeah.
And you got to think, though, we've got 10 games to go. It's in our hands, isn't it? If we win all 10...
Yeah, because two of them against Liverpool and Man City. So that
no, we're done Liverpool. We've got Man City, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, Liverpool 3-1 and drew at theirs.
Yeah, they're 1 point, but if we win all 10 games, we'll be champions, won't we?
Because one of those is City. Indeed. Right, that's it. 1 hour, 33 minutes. I think that's just about the perfect time for a podcast to last. James, what other shows have you got coming up or have you done recently that you would say to people, go and have a look at that?
So I did Same Old Arsenal last night with James. He's always a great time. So, yeah, I enjoyed doing that with him. I haven't been on Purely Arsenal for a little while because of the scheduling, but please do go and listen to them because Neil, Jack... are fantastic, and Mike as well with his Arsenal Bubble channel. If you could,
Arsenal Bubble.
I went very Essexy. I apologise. it slipped in, but yeah. Other than that, it's always just on my Twitter. It's all there. I am back around. The neurovirus got me, but I'm cured now.
For people who are listening, having a poo, filling the dishwasher, maybe planting some vegetables because it's spring. What is your Twitter username?
It's at LLCoolJames91.
And I refuse to call it X. Nick, you're deviant. Will there be any Twitch shows coming up where people can come watch you play shit games?
More than likely coming up in the next. I've had a month off because I've been ill and just haven't felt like it.
Mm.
To be honest, well, when you can't talk, you can't really Twitch stream, can you?
You could mime.
I could mime.
Have you got an 18 plus? Streams. Are you doing any 18 plus stuff now that Twitch allows fucking anything?
They don't allow anything with blokes, mate. Just the females.
No.
No. I mean, did you want to watch me in a hot tub?
No.
No, well, there you go then. I would only do that for you, Danny.
You could sit in a swimming pool and clean the discs of all your games.
And someone will buy your water. 100%.
Oh, yeah. Someone
will buy your water.
No, people actually got ill drinking that as well, didn't they?
Because people are fucking morons.
But yeah, like, may come back on Twitch. So that's Nick Fights on Twitch.
And that's the same username on the Twitters.
Yep.
We don't really have anything planned. I think me and Deke are going to do a Talking Bullocks in the next couple of weeks. I might well do a lone watch. I know Stefan likes that. Just give an update of all the players. Like Stefan said in the chat, Mika Birith scored again in Europe tonight, which is lovely. But I think the more he scores, the just more money he's going to cost when we sell him because he has not got a future at the arse. I might even do a Sunday roast with Mike if he can stop living the high life with the hierarchy of the Arsenal podcasting world, shaking hands and doing coke and whatever other shit they're up to. I do mean the fizzy stuff. He's not a monster. And I would like to say thank you to everybody who has been to get 1,000 views on a video on YouTube. Used to be something we do all the time. 2, 3, 4, 5,000, no problem. YouTube has shit on everybody. All these shows, all you people watching now, at the end of the video, end of the show, YouTube would go, well, you've had a culminative 75 people watching. Now it will say 2. It doesn't include anything that is in what you're doing now. It could be 1 million people here. They're mugging us off like that because then they don't have to pay people, not us, because it doesn't really count.
They're all about YouTube Shorts, aren't they, which is just copying TikTok. They don't really care about long, proper podcasts anymore.
Yeah, we do that. We've done some of them. Had some 200, 300, 400 for some of them. But we haven't had 1,000 views on a podcast, on a show on YouTube since we had Nikki Kaya Kainak doing something about, I'm going to go and have a look, and it's on here. That was on the 9th of July, 2023. That was the last time we, oh, no, it wasn't. That's bullshit. It wasn't even him, was it? It must have been one before that. Bloody hell, because that one only got 900. Just is, it's been about 2 or 3 years. And now we've had 2 in the last 3, the Brentford post-game and the Porto post-game. We've had over 1,000 for each of those. And that's a pretty decent marker to reach. So thank you very much to everybody who's watched and stayed with us and joined us for the live shows. And thanks to Deke, who's doing that with me. And thanks to you two tonight for joining us for a podcast. And thanks to everybody in the chat. Without you, this would just be 3 questionable people sitting around talking absolute nonsense to nobody because there's nobody there. So without you, we're nothing. We miss you. Oh, and Stefan says thanks. Right, that's it. Enjoy your 19 days, 18 days of doing absolutely nothing. I will be taking ABWFC to the Premier League, hopefully. And we will see you later, gentlemen. Give the screen a little bit of a wave. Give them some love. Oh, there you go. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Get down, dog. Splendid business.
He nearly caught the bloody thing. What are you talking about?
So I was just eating a full quiche. Well, you don't often see them at Ibs. So when you see them in the supermarket, they need to be swagged, microwaved immediately, and get the brown sauce on and bosh, Bob's your uncle.
Never in doubt.